This morning I'm going to talk to you about Jesus Christ, an incredible individual who is a Savior, who is a healer, and who declared himself to be the light of the world. We're going to look at Jesus as the light and the example of his healing the man who was born blind, as an example of how, in a very concrete example, Jesus removed the darkness from this man and opened his eyes to see the light. Spiritual blindness is found here in the Pharisees, as well as the man born blind. And we see that Jesus was a solution to this blind man who received his physical sight, but then he also received spiritual sight that enabled him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord. One of the themes of the Gospel of John is light. As we've been studying John, we come across these passages in this Gospel right in the beginning. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We move over to the third chapter of John, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. And just recently in chapter 8, Jesus stood and declared against the backdrop of the tabernacle that was, or the temple that was all lit up. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me does not walk in darkness, but in light. Here in the ninth chapter, Jesus and his disciples, who were being persecuted, as we saw in John 8, where after he preached and had a confrontation with the Pharisees, they were ready to stone him. So he hid himself in the temple and then they left. What I admire about Jesus here is he didn't just slink off into the wilderness and hide. He continued with his ministry. That's how dedicated he was to the work of the Lord. And we see him passing by this man born blind. And his disciples ask, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? The disciples assume that the blindness must come from divine punishment for this man's sin. For them, the question is whether the man himself had sinned, presumably in the womb before birth, or whether his parents had sinned, with the result that their child was born blind. Their way of thinking was based in part on some biblical texts that assume a child could be punished for the sins of the parents. Exodus 20:4-5. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. So the disciples are falling back on that, saying, okay, here's a man who has this physical affliction. Who sinned that caused him to be in this condition? Jesus corrects them very quickly. We see in the next verses here, Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And then he goes on to say something that's really an encouragement back then and for us today. We must work the works of God. We must work the works of God. As Jesus said, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work. There's a time limitation. As the light, as it's still day, we, the church of Jesus Christ, must work because there's a night coming. And it doesn't take much of an imagination to see the darkness sweeping over our nation. Now, what is the church doing? What kind of work are each one of us doing to shine our lights so that this darkness just doesn't sweep from coast to coast? While it is day, we must work. Because night is coming when no one can work. Verse 5, as long as I am in the world, says Jesus, I am the light of the world. What he's doing is he's healing this man to show everybody that he is doing the works of God who sent him, which proves that he is who he says he is, the light of the world, but he's also the Son of God. He's the Messiah. This concrete example of healing the blind man should convince everybody that Jesus is the Christ. But as you read along in this passage, not everybody was convinced. In fact, there were some that just did not believe. The people were confused. Not only did they know who Jesus was, they had problems understanding who it was that got healed. I think this is the guy that's blind that's always begging. No, that's not him. It's a guy that looks like him. No, you got to run. This is him. Well, how did he get his sight back? Jesus. Oh, I don't know about that. We see the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, they rejected this altogether. And it got nasty as John unfolds this account of the healing of the blind man. It's interesting how Jesus healed this man too. He just didn't, your sight is restored. He spit in the ground, made some mud, and anointed this fellow's eyes. Why he did that, don't know. But imagine this man who was blind from birth, got mud all over his face. He still hasn't seen. He doesn't know who did this. He's never seen Jesus to this point. Here he is stumbling through the streets of Jerusalem. Down south is the Pool of Siloam. He's making his way down there. I don't know if people helped him. I don't know if he fell. Doesn't say. That's pretty humiliating, isn't it? I mean, I have an infection on my face. Some of you said that I looked in the mirror this morning and it broke, and that's the shrapnel I got that caused these. Really, it's an infection. I'm not contagious. On medicine and so forth. But, you know, I walk around like this. Sit in meetings. Have the program in front of my face at the football game. Embarrassed, you know, my appearance. Imagine what this man went through. And yet he went through that. And when he washed his face, when he washed his eyes, he received his sight. John 9:8. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" And some said he is. Others said, "No, it's not him." So they asked him, "How were your eyes opened?" In verse 11, he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And the man said, "I don't know." Verse 13, they, the neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar, brought him to the Pharisees. The man who had been formerly blind, they brought him to the Pharisees. Verse 14, now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." This man, meaning Jesus, he's a sinner. It's interesting how haughty these religious leaders are. They're not all that concerned about this miracle that happened. They're concerned about he broke the law. It's the Sabbath. What's he doing making mud working on the Sabbath? And that becomes their talking point. Because he broke the law, Jesus is a sinner. You don't believe in sinners. So whatever happened to this man, don't go giving any credit to Jesus the Messiah, because he's a sinner. And this went on and it escalated. "This man is not from God," the Pharisees said, "for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" There was great confusion about Jesus here. And there was division. Division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" And the man who was healed said, "He's a prophet." This individual that received this miracle didn't know who Jesus was. He's a prophet. I can't explain if he's a sinner or not. All I know is I was blind, but now I can see. The Jews in verse 18, the Jewish leaders, did not believe that he had been blind. Now they're questioning the fellow that had the miracle performed on him. He wasn't really blind. This is fake news. They made it up. Didn't they do the same thing with Jesus' resurrection? His disciples stole his body. Or as the liberals say, he didn't really die. He swooned, passed out. They put him in a tomb, and where it was nice and cool, And after a period of time, his physical body came back to fullness of health. But he never really died. They make up these stories to defend their positions. Jesus is not who he says he is. Jesus is not the Messiah. And this guy who got his eyesight back, he wasn't really blind. Well, let's go talk to mom and dad and get to the bottom of this. So there was an investigation. They called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who says was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." We see in verse 22 some of the pressure that had been placed on anybody who said anything or followed Jesus Christ in a positive way. They're going to discredit him. They're going to put pressure on him. If you want to come to synagogue, if you want to be in right standing in our community, then you had better not follow Jesus. Or we'll kick you out. Verse 22, his parents said of these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man, the Jewish leaders, who had been blind, and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner," meaning Jesus. The man who had been given his eyesight answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." And they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" They just kept on badgering him. They kept on hitting him, trying to find a crack in his testimony. And he answered, this is really good how this man answers these religious leaders. "I have told you already and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again?" Here's the comment. "Do you also want to become his disciples?" Whoa. Is that why you're inquiring? Because you're really interested in trusting in Jesus as the Lord and Savior? I mean, here's a guy that was a social outcast. He's just gotten healed. He's called before the religious leaders, and he's calling them out. Something changed in this fellow. And their reply in verse 28, they reviled him. You know what it means to be reviled or to revile someone? To be critical, negative, to condemn, to put them down. They revile this man who just had his eyes opened to the truth. Why were they like that? Why couldn't they rejoice in seeing this man healed and then praise God? Well, I reach back into the 8th chapter that we have studied. And the 8th chapter, verse 43 and 47, Jesus is in a confrontation with these leaders again. He asked, "Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, Jesus said, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Verse 47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Whoa. That's why they can't hear the word. That's why they can't understand. They can't see the works that Jesus is doing. They're not of God. They're spiritually blind. They hide in chapter 8 behind Abraham's our father. Jesus pulls that out and says, no, your father is not Abraham, it's the devil. Here in chapter 9, you're spiritually blind. You don't know God. You can't see God. You don't understand how God's at work. The Apostle Paul helps us understand the condition of spiritual blindness and the solution to it, where he wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:11, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. Paul goes in later on in 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statements of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded their minds, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Satan's at work blinding people. Just go to college. Every class opens with prayer, right? Just look around at our nation. What is wrong now has become right. What was right is now wrong. Darkness. Why is that? Satan's at work. People don't know what to believe. It creates confusion. Getting back to our story, there's more to it than just the physical healing. After Jesus learned that the Pharisees had kicked this man or cast this man out of the temple, and having found him, Jesus said, do you believe in the Son of God? And the man whose eyes were open answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Spiritual sight. His eyes were opened. Jesus was not just a prophet. He was not just a teacher. He was not just a miracle worker. He was the Son of God who was sent by the Father to reveal the Father to the world and to suffer and die on the cross in payment and redeeming sinners. He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Here's a perfect example, this blind man, of a truth that has come out of the Reformation. Doctrines of grace. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, all to the glory of God alone, as revealed in the Scriptures alone. Here we see Jesus seeing a blind man, and he healed him, and he saved him. What did the man do to be saved? He didn't even know who was ministering to him. That's God's grace. God used this situation to bring glory to himself, to bring glory to his Son. Here is my Son. He does the works that I sent him to do. Look what he did to this man. His whole life changed. He was no longer spiritually blind. Can't wait to get to heaven to talk to him to see what the rest of his life was like. Yeah, talk about a contrast. I was blind, but then I could see. Well, how did that play itself out the rest of your life? It must be amazing. Well, then again, isn't that what Jesus is? And I use this word very carefully. Jesus is awesome. So how's your vision? How's your eyesight? Have you gone to the doctor yet to check it out? If you're spiritually blind, you're just not going to get why you need a Savior. You'll be talking about religion. You'll be talking about churches, talking about so many things. But you don't get it that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Spiritual blindness. But there's a solution to that. The eye doctor is in. The great physician is open for business. Turn to him and have your eyes open to spiritual truth. And be set free from sin. Understanding who Jesus is and what the cross means and what the resurrection of Christ means. And how he has come to save us from our sins and reconcile us to God the Father. Another takeaway from this is, can born-again Christians suffer from spiritual blindness? Yes. Not totally blind, but you have a real bad case of spiritual cataracts where everything is blurry. And those cataracts are caused by looking at the things of the world and trusting in the world for success rather than in Jesus Christ. It takes time, but your eyesight starts to be affected. And you think you're okay, even though you see halos. I could still drive. I could still see this. I could still see that. I don't need to go to the doctor. It's not going to be poking my eyes with anything. I'm not going there. Spiritual cataracts come from focusing your attention on the world and the ways of the world. And I'm going to close with Revelation 3:14 that talks about spiritual problems within the church. Revelation 3:14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. Would that you would be either hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Again, who's he talking to? Church. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has ear, an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If you're having a vision problem, your eyesight, everything's just blurry. You're not sure what God's will is for your life. You're not sure if you're really committed to the work of the Lord. This is the time to come to Him. And so, Lord, take out those cataracts. Clear up my eyes that I may see, that I have spiritual eyes to see your kingdom. And not just the physical, but the spiritual. If God is working in your heart this day, after the service, Pastor Ben, myself, will be around. If you'd like to talk, pray about this, we'd certainly welcome you. Let's pray right now.